Good evening, this is Rabbi Maevsky. Tonight's shiur is Le'ilui Nishmas Chaya Rochel Bas Rav David Tzvi. The neshama should have an aliyah, as we've had for the last few weeks. The big schus, that's what we do. And as I keep saying, the purpose of making all these things and dedicating is the neshama has an aliyah, that he left somebody behind to perform all these mitzvos and get the mitzvos to be tagged on to his, so to speak. The neshama has an aliyah. Every year is a new judgment day, every year until the end of time, for us here on earth and for those who have left us. And these are things that are big schus. This week's parasha, of course, we begin with the, not the building of the Mishkan, but the instructions for the Mishkan. How that comes about is very interesting. There's so much differential in the way it's presented. Was the commandment to build a Mishkan from God to Moshe before or after the Egel? And it would seem very likely, since the need for a karbonis would always be there, we understand that even before this, there were karbonis, carbon pesach, various things. And where were we going to be able to do it? It had to be a central location where everybody would come as a meeting place, as a meeting hall, no matter how many people there were, a place like Yerushalayim, which only comes about later in the time of David HaMelech. But regardless of that, there would have to be. The question is, how would that take effect? And even though we have in a few parashas ago when it says, B'chol makom asher askira shemi, until they built the Mishkan, anybody could do things, pray on their own. But that's not necessarily true in terms of communal things, because the basic bastion of Yiddishkeit is unity. And we see that when we get to the building of the Mishkan. And the building of the Mishkan, the first thing that God gives us is the Aron. We have the Aron, the Shulchan, and then the Menorah. And we have, God tells us, gives Moshe the commandment to collect 15 different items. The reason these 15 items are listed is to delineate, I want these 15 items only. There are people who, so to speak, when they go through a spring cleaning, they may have, you know what, maybe this is something, you know, when you get all these ads for donations for your cars for kids and various things or other kinds of charities, they don't need the car. What they do is sell the car and use the money. And therefore, what we're saying over here is, you're doing your spring cleaning, you're figuring you don't need something, I'll bring it to the base of Mikdash, and maybe they'll use it somehow and change it over to something that could be needed as a barter. Moshe is being told by Hashem, I only want you to collect 15 things. This is not a clearinghouse for your spring cleaning. I want you to do things. And Zahav v'chesef u'nechoshes. And the reason, even the order of the 15 things is very specific. And the reason is because the purest thing, the most valuable thing of all the 15, of course, is Zahav. And that's going to be in the Aron, and various things that are necessary, and then the silver, and then in terms of how valuable the ore is, obviously gold and silver, then copper, in that order. And those are the order that we would need for building of the Mishkan. Why does it start with the Aron? Obviously, the Aron is the central focal point of Yiddishkeit, with the Aron being that point. But the most interesting thing of all the things, because we say that the Aron represents, it's one Aron, one Torah, and it represents God, that's Echad B'Shamayim and Echad B'Olam. But besides that, we have a problem here when it says that the Shnei Kruvim, because, you know, you build the two cherubs, and the cherubs are one, the small children, and one is represented by a male, and one was represented by a female. Of course, that tells us something that today's society, God didn't make four cherubim for different types of people other than male and female. We're all divided up into two groups, a man and woman, male child and a female child. But the point is, it's the construction of where they are. The first problem we have is that, of course, a lot of the goyim, and we would wonder why God would even do that for ourselves. He's trying to rid us of our proclivity for avodah zarah, and here it is, building two figurines. We know we don't hang figurines, we don't make statues of any heavenly bodies or various things that we would be tempted to bow down to. Of course, we don't have that penchant anymore for it. But regardless, years ago they did, certainly during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash when it was rampant, which ended then during the first, between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. The Chachamim prayed for that. But at this point in time, that becomes a very real problem. And the situation is, so why would God tell them to make the Cheruvim be, you know, two children, two people, and people, certainly the unschooled might think that these are some sort of Avodah Zarah. They look like idols. But the reality is, God is saying various things. There is six of this, ten of this, seven of this. But what's inside the Aron is the Torah. Our focal point is the Torah. There's only one thing that is only one, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Yachid Ba'olamo. He's the only one. And this is something, but the question is the facing, the way the Keruvim are built. The way the Keruvim are built, they have these wings on the side, and it says, the Keruvim Parseh Chanafayim L'malo Sochim B'chanfeihem HaKaporeh Ala Kaporeh Ufneihem Ish Elohim. That's a very telling point. And their faces are facing each other, but the wings are heavenward. And that's why God wants us to face each other, to be attentive to one another, always, no matter how much we sit and how religious we get, regardless of how religious we have our wings facing the heaven, to know that all our abilities, all our strengths come from the heaven above. But nevertheless, don't lose sight of your fellow man. And why did God have to do that at this juncture? We see something very interesting. We read in Parshas Yisro, and it said, for the one and only time, when the Bnei Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar for the 40 years, and you have in Maaseh, the 42 Masos, it's Vayachanu, Vayachanu, they went from this. But Vayachanu is a plural. At Har Sinai, it says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. At the end of, it says, at this point in time, suddenly, before they said Naseh V'Nishma, they gathered collectively as a unified nation. They all answered unified in unity, Naseh V'Nishma, and they were its uses. And of course, so many Mepharshim write that it uses the singular Vayichan instead of Vayachanu, and this was the only time. What caused that at this juncture? There's a very interesting thought process why God needed to do this. We see at the very end of B'Shalach, when they're marching in the Midbar after they finish with the splitting of the sea, Kriyas Yamsuf, and then suddenly when they have their first disagreement with Moshe, Vayara for Amal Moshe, Vayomer Tnu Lanu Mayim, we want water, which was a rational thought, but nevertheless, they descended on the mob. There were different levels of people. Some had more faith, some had less faith, some were in the middle. But nevertheless, people complain. The ones who thought, I mean, did they really think that God was going to leave them here? That's almost impossible to imagine. If he split the sea for them, caused the ten makos, why would you in your wildest dream think for 1 minute that God would leave them stranded in the desert? But it just shows you how low a madrega, how high they had yet to reach a madrega. And we see when we read Parsha Zohar on Kisete, when we get in the next couple of weeks, when we read Parsha Zohar, it says, Vayezanev Becho Kol Anech Sholim Acharecha. Bnei Israel were marching in the Midbar, but they weren't marching as a close-order drill. We have to imagine that there were 3 million people, and it spread out over quite a large distance of space, and therefore there are stragglers. There are people marching maybe a mile behind, a half a mile behind. Everybody's basically following, but 3 million people, you could see up ahead, you know, there are people lagging behind. And that's what Amalek struck, where they took all the stragglers, they attacked from behind, which is what military strategy is many times. When we see that is always what you try to do, but if everybody stays together in close order drill, then it's harder to attack because nobody's being left behind. And since they had that experience that they realized that they were attacked from behind for all the stragglers, and now they began to march more closely. Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. That brought about a a solidification of Klal Yisrael to know that they had to march in a close order drill. And that was God achieved that his desire at this point in time. And that's where we get to that God wants them to know that Sochachim b'chanfehem ala kaporis, the wings are always having to face heavenward and towards Hashem, but as a unified people on top of the Aron. As much as the Torah, the Aron has the Torah inside, the Luchos it had at this point, the Luchos and eventually the Shivrei Luchos, Menachos Ma'aron, they would be in that Aron. What's very important to remember is that on top of it are these two human figures, because the Torah cannot operate without people. The Torah was created for human beings, and the Torah was created for Jews. And therefore, it's made out of the most, the Aron is made from the most precious gold, the Zohar. And then we have the menorah and the Shulchan and the menorah. And the menorah is significant. Everything is Derech Ramazim. The whole Mishkan was there for a Ramazim and for three on one side, three in the other, but they all faced the center. There was a frame. The menorah had to be made from one piece of gold, a seemingly impossible task. In fact, Moshe was totally confounded by the inability to fathom to see it, and that's why it says, Asher atom moreh bahor. But more than that, if we take a look, there's another word over here that's allowable to be spelt more than one way with the yud missing, according to the Taimoni, when it says, V'yosisa menorah zohar tahor miksha teoseh hamenorah yirecha v'kono. All the other pieces of the Mishkan that were built were all, says Taaseh. The menorah, everything else, it says, V'yosisa, you'll do it, and you'll make it. But if the usage of the word, V'yosisa menorah zohar tahor miksha teoseh, it will be made. And what we're told is that Moshe, or whoever was with him, would have to throw in, since it was an impossibility, literally, to take something, to carve out, chisel out from one piece of gold, a menorah that was built so intricately with all the things, but they all had to face the center. The center was the beam right up the center, which is what we have, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Torah. That is our center, and we're all attached, and we're all part of one piece. And we see that in the world today, where we lose that ability. You have Jews spread out over the entire entire globe, entire earth. In every country, there were Jews, practically every country. I don't know if there is every single country, but generally speaking, there were Jews spread out all over the place. And we all have different ideas and different ways of serving God, and some obviously who do not. But that is the problem. What we are trying to establish is Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. When will we be as one once again? And that is why we see the population in the land of Israel growing to the point where it's now, it appears to be more than 50% of the Jewish population, which would have been unthought of after World War II. But now it has, the Jews in Chutz La'aretz have not multiplied as much as we would have hoped, because there's certainly time to replenish everything, but there are Jews spread out all over the world and intermarrying. And the only place where there's less intermarriage or very little intermarriage is in the land of Israel. And that's what it's so important for our future, to be like the menorah. We could have six prongs, six menorah in the middle, but it all has to be facing the center. The Torah is our center focal point for everything. And that is the symbolism of the menorah and the shulchan. Those three things are the beginning, where we get our food from, where we get our religion from and where we have our value system from. Depending on regardless of where we live, we, as long as our faith is Ubavashi Chavin Libo L'Shamayim, we always, the reason that we, when we daven Shmona Esrei, it says we're supposed to face east. But we face east only for people who live on this side of Eretz Yisrael. The people who live on the other side of Eretz Yisrael would be facing west. In Yerushalayim, we face another direction, depending on where the Beis HaMikdash is, and then in terms of where the Aron would have been. We're facing, always keeping our mind on the center, which is the Aron, which is the Torah, represented by God, but always to know that the menorah was made from one piece. We are all from one piece of gold. We are chiseled out of one piece, regardless of who we are and where we come from. The sooner we come to that realization, the faster the Geula will come. May we look forward to that day in our lifetime. Have a good evening. Thank you very much.